Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The New York Giants are holding joint practices right now with the Detroit Lions. But what they also did, and I thought very cleverly, is they slipped in that release of their first unofficial depth chart. I'm here to talk about it because I think it says a lot. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a giant issue. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of A Giant Issue. I am Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me. Make sure that you go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit the like button. New York Giants on SI YouTube channel. That's where you can find every episode of A Giant Issue. You can also listen to it anywhere you get your podcast, specifically at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and places like that. Make sure you're also going to the New York Giants on SI website to check out anything, news and information that has to do with the New York Giants. We always appreciate everything you're doing. And remember, we're trying to get to 2,000 subscribers before the first game. We're in the midst of joint practices between the Giants and the Lions. And yesterday was the first joint practice. It was a spirited joint practice. If you remember from my episode yesterday, I said that I wanted to see, I had some things that I wanted to see. I wanted to see how the offensive line held up. I wanted to see about the receivers and the defensive backs and Daniel Jones and the linebacking core, right? And so I think we had some questions, and those questions were answered. But while there were so many people that were talking about practices yesterday and the fights and essentially Drew Phillips being an irritant, which you have to love as a nickel, I just got fixated on the Giants dropping the first depth chart, like the first unofficial depth chart. And so I figured what better time to, you know, discuss it than before we get to the first game of the season. There's been some talk, right? There's been some discussion, and I think that it warrants talking about this roster and what the Giants see, right? What the Giants see and what it may ultimately mean going forward. What it may ultimately mean going forward. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pull up the depth chart offensively and defensively, so that you can see it. And I forgot who initially dropped a link to the depth chart, which was on the Giants site, which is where I saw it first. But then, and I want to give respect, I think it was Pat Leonard at P. Leonard NYDN, who posted a spread, almost like a spreadsheet, so you can kind of see everything next to each other. And so I wanted to take the opportunity to go through the offense and the defense and tell you how I'm looking at this and what it means to me as I see it, looking at this from a coach's perspective, and then trying to kind of put my GM hat on and see where this all lands, right? So I'm going to pull it up here on the screen so that you guys that are watching on YouTube can see it. And if you're not watching on YouTube, I'll do my best to describe it, so that you can understand what it is I am trying to say. So up here, you see the depth chart, right? We've got the offensive depth chart up here. And so when I'm looking at this depth chart offensively, the first thing that comes to my head, that it brings to my mind, is up at the top where it says wide receiver and it says Jalin Hyatt or Darius Slayton. That means, and again, we don't know what they're really thinking. We can just only go by what they're showing us, right? That means that they believe that right now, Jalin Hyatt and Darius Slayton are on the same level, or at least they want you to believe that Jalin Hyatt and Darius Slayton were on the same level. Now, I made a comment yesterday during the show, and then I tweeted about it, and it got some traction about how I felt like it seemed to be this conspiracy to not show Darius Slayton doing positive things on the field because everybody is fixated on Malik Nabers and Jalin Hyatt. I think at one point I said, if there was a play where the ball was thrown to Slayton, he was wide open, he turned up the field and then just casually looked like he was jogging, but just separated from everybody and ran in for a touchdown. This was in joint practices, but at that time it had not had a lot of traction. It had been out. Like, you have to understand, when a Malik Nabers clip drops on Twitter, it immediately hits 1,000 like retweets. Like, almost immediately, you drop the clip, it's an original clip, it's the first clip. If you drop it at 1 o'clock, by 2 o'clock, it's 1,000 retweets, right? Jalin Hyatt has been getting a lot of love from the community. I mean, rightfully so, right? They want these draft picks to be good. But we haven't seen Jalin Hyatt do anything other than run down the field wide open, if he's wide open, or catch a pass. Like, we haven't seen any of the things that we want to see from him, at least on the highlights of like what people are clipping up, right? Again, what do you want to show us? Where it says he's doing something other than just taking the top off. So it was interesting that Bit Dash No said, you know, the Giants have Ferraris and Darius Slayton's like I believe he said it was like he's like a Dodge Charger, right? Like he's really fast and he's reliable, but not flashy, which I thought was really weird, really interesting. And not because, you know, he said anything that is awful, right? But the idea that Darius Slayton isn't like flash is crazy, because like he's literally been the flash guy. He's been the take the top off the field guy. But then someone else tried to say, well, you know, other than taking the top off the field, we don't, like, he doesn't bring any other value. And I went, what are you talking about? Like, I've watched Darius Slayton catch crossing routes and take off up the field. I've watched him catch dig routes. I've watched him catch intermediate routes, right? Is he Wandale Robinson? No, but that's not his job. So seeing Jalin Hyatt essentially equal, or maybe even like if we're trying to subconsciously let people know that Jalin Hyatt is going to be the starter, putting him first and saying Jalin Hyatt or Darius Slayton, right? And that might have just been done because of alphabet, right? The H comes before the S. But let's have fun with it. Let's say they consciously put Jalin Hyatt as the first line guy and then added the or for Darius Slayton, which is going to make him look like a two. Like if you're looking at this video, I'm sorry, if you're looking at the broadcast and you see the unofficial depth chart that I have up here, Jalin Hyatt being in the column with the starters makes Darius Slayton look like he's not a starter. I mean, that just is what it is, right? It makes him look like he's not a starter. So looking at these things and the way in which they have everything kind of, you know, pulled out, I said, oh, okay. They want Jalin Hyatt to be the one. And shout out to Football Game Plan, because he's the one that talked about this with me earlier, that he thinks that the position battle is Jalin Hyatt versus Darius Slayton, because he believes Jalin Hyatt, they want Hyatt to be the one. And I can't necessarily say I disagree with him, because he's still on the rookie deal, right? Even though he's not a first rounder, this is year two, which means they have him controlled for the next 2 years on an extremely reasonable rookie deal. They're not going to give him an extension early, because why, right? He's not your number one. He's probably not the number two if Darius Slayton isn't the number two. He's probably the number three, because Wandale Robinson is then now your de facto number two. So this is going to be interesting to see how much both of those guys play in the preseason, because I think that will inform who they believe is in fact the number one. I believe this is a, hey, let's see what type of production these guys are able to give. But I think it says a lot, because even though I haven't seen Jalin Hyatt doing things other than the deep stuff, they clearly have, right? They clearly have. Even though I haven't seen Slayton much at all, they clearly have. And right now they believe that both of those guys, they would be comfortable with either one of them being opposite of Malik Nabers. So that's the first thing that I look at, right? Then I jump down immediately to offensive line. Jermaine Illuminor being the right tackle makes sense, because Evan Neal is not on the roster right now. He's on the PUP. So why would you have him playing anywhere else? But here's the fun part, ladies and gentlemen. All of you people who thought Greg Van Rotten was here to be the starter, clearly you're mistaken. And I said they already had a plan in place if Neal wasn't the guy, like if Neal wasn't going to be there. And the plan was to bring Aaron Stinney in, who has started for a winning team. No offense to, you know, the Raiders, but he started for a winning team. And so what do we see? Aaron Stinney as the starting right guard, Schmitz as the starting center. Yesterday, I said that how perfect would it be to have a Greg Van Roten as the essentially the backup for the entire interior, because you're not going to tell me Jimmy Morrissey and Jalen Mayfield are the answers at center and at guard if Runyon Jr. or Smits or Stinney gets hurt. So now the reason that you've seen Van Roten in playing center is because they know he can be a successful guard. He has center experience from previous stops. I believe he played some center with Buffalo. I believe he played center at another stop. I forget off the top of my head. Maybe it was the Jets. Maybe it was the Carolina Panthers, not the Jets. And so, like, now we're seeing him play center because the plan for him is to be that backup everywhere, right? The same way that the plan is for Joshua Ezeudu to be the backup tackle. You might not like it, right? You may not like it. You may think that he was bad, even though he was thrown in a really awful situation to be good, right? Never mind the fact that he had been playing guard all last year to go into the season, and then Andrew Thomas gets hurt, and he has to go out to tackle with no practice really at tackle. He's been playing tackle this entire offseason. They're expecting him to be able to be serviceable as a backup if one of those two dudes go down, and that doesn't even talk about Neil once Neil comes back. Now, the interesting part is that Aaron Stinney was brought in to be a guard, right? Jermaine Illumino was brought in to be a guard. So when Evan Neal comes back, what happens? Do they go? And again, I talked about this before. There's three options, in my opinion, that make sense. The first option is he's ready to go, put him back in, move Illumino back down, and now you've got Stinney as your guard replacement. You've got Van Roten as the center replacement. You've got Illumino to be the backup tackle along with Ezeudu, and you've got Neal in there. The second is to leave Jermaine Illumino in there, right? And essentially treat 2024 as a redshirt year for Evan Neal, allow him to work, get better, and now in year four, because he'll only be 24 years old, you weirdos that are calling him a bust already, he'll only be 24 years old. He'll have 2 years where he had experience, this year where he got better, and now he moves back into the lineup as a tackle. Or you move him to guard. You move him to guard, and then the same thing applies to Stinney and Van Roten, and now he's a guard, and that's his life, and you can call him a bust as a tackle all you want, but you really shouldn't matter to you if he's going to be a quality guard. And I do think he can be a Pro Bowl caliber guard. I've always said it. So that jumped out to me. Runyon Jr. being back on the left side only makes sense, because why is he playing right guard when he's played left guard almost exclusively, right? But I get it if Jermaine Illumino is going to be your guard and you think he would be better on the left side in between, you know, Andrew Thomas and Runyon, and you put the experienced guard, Runyon Jr., in between Neal and John Michael Smith, two guys who don't have as much experience, right? That makes sense to me, but I digress.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So then I came over and I started looking down, right? Malik Nabers is clearly the number one. Isaiah Hodgins is the number two, right? I'm looking at all of these places. The wide receiving core, they're going to probably keep six, maybe seven, because of the way in which the new special teams rule works, right? So if Isaiah Hodgins is going to be in there, like locked in as the number two wide receiver behind Malik Nabers, Darius Slayton and Jalen Hyatt are obviously taking up two. Wandale Robinson is there. That's five guys. Isaiah McKenzie or Gunnar Olszanski is making the team. But right now, Isaiah McKenzie is the number two slot, which means they see more value in him as a slot than they do Gunnar Olszanski, clearly, because Gunnar Olszanski is just a kick returner, right? But if Isaiah McKenzie can be the returner and he adds value as a slot, that allows them to keep Miles Boykin, who's going to be more of a factor as a special teamer, right? As a gunner, as a blocker, he's going to play all special teams. I don't know if Gunnar Olszanski is going to play all special teams. So that then allows them to keep Miles Boykin. That would put them at seven wide receivers. If you don't keep Isaiah McKenzie, right, and you keep Gunnar Olszanski, then who's the backup behind Wandale Robinson? And this is where I look at the depth chart and I go, that's interesting, because they have Allen Robinson essentially as the number three, what would be considered as the X, right? They have him as the number three behind Nabers, but he has been operating more in the position that Wandale Robinson occupies in his career. So if they keep Olszanski, does that point to Allen Robinson having a better chance of making the squad? Because he can then plug in either outside or inside as a backup for Wandale Robinson. That's the interesting part for me. This depth chart tells me that it's going to come down on the back end to a McKenzie, Olszanski, Boykins, Robinson kind of, you know what I'm saying, mix up, like mashup. Like, who is going to be the two out of those four if they're planning on keeping seven? who will be the two out of those four if they're planning on keeping seven. That'll be interesting. Does Allen Robinson end up jumping ahead of Isaiah Hodgins because he adds value outside and inside? Because you have Slayton, if he ends up being the number two, where he could be either on at the position that Hyatt would occupy or the position that Neighbors occupies, does that make Isaiah Hodgins less valuable because he's only an X? Like, these are the conversations that I want to have. These are the things that I'm interested in when I look at this. The last thing on the offense that I was looking at wasn't running backs, because we kind of know how that's going to shape up. I think it's interesting because we've seen Dante Miller be really explosive, yet he's still fourth on the depth chart. We haven't seen really anything from Eric Gray or Tyrone Tracy Jr. The quarterback position, Drew Lock is the two, clearly. DeVito is the three. Are they keeping three quarterbacks? Like, will they keep three quarterbacks, or will they send him back to the practice squad? Or, in his opinion, will they try to release him and another team pick him up because they think he's valuable? Right? So I think that's a big question mark about the number three guy. Daniel Bellinger being a number one still is interesting, because so many of you out there had been talking as if Daniel Bellinger had a chance to not make this team, like he was going to get cut. And now we see he's still the number one. It's not Lawrence Cager, who's had a good camp. It's still Daniel Bellinger, which tells us his blocking is probably way better than Cager's blocking. Man Hurts is the number three because he's the best blocker of all of them. And Theo Johnson is the fourth guy. But if Theo Johnson is the fourth guy and they're planning to keep him as the fourth guy, that tells me that they are planning to keep four tight ends on this roster. That makes sense, especially when you think about the kickoff return and the fact that you're going to need guys who are more athletic but can still block. And that's where these tight ends are going to come into play out there on that kickoff return. I'll get down to the defense, right? And when I look down at the defense, I see much less questions, right? We know Burns and Thibodeau are going to be out there. We know Dex is going to be the nose tackle. The one place on the line that I thought was interesting is Nunez Roaches as the penciled in three technique. Now, it's not because I think this is a bad decision. I just think it's funny because everybody was like, lauding at how great Jordan Riley looked coming into camp. But we haven't seen any plays. And we know that if nothing else, Nunez Roaches can be a one-gap penetrator, right? He has an ability to be something as a one-gap penetrator. What's also really interesting to me is Jordan Phillips clearly has not impressed the way that I thought he had the potential to impress. He is sitting third on the depth chart right now. He's sitting third. And I can just tell you, if he's third at the D tackle spot, at the three technique spot, he's likely to get cut. I don't see them keeping six interior defensive linemen. So it's probably going to, if this is what they're thinking with Riley as the number two nose guard and Ryder Anderson, who, for lack of a better word, does have some penetration, one-gap penetration ability, right? If those are the four they're looking at up front, then that tells me that DJ Davidson and Jordan Phillips are probably battling it out for the fifth spot on the inside, right? They're probably battling it out for the fifth spot on the inside. Boogie Basham doesn't seem to be in any jeopardy of losing his spot, because behind him is just people who haven't really proven to do anything. I think, though, those preseason games are going to be big for Basham and Akufu and Tamon Fox, those guys, to see if they can be, you know, some answers as rushers. Azeez Ojulari behind Kayvon Thibodeau, again, just makes sense to me because now you have a guy who can spell either side, either Burns or Thibodeau, to be able to come in as the next guy off the bench. Not surprising. Linebackers, what is surprising to me on the inside is the fact that Darian Beavers is behind everybody at inside linebacker. Deontay Johnson is the backup. The rookie Musau is the backup behind the backup. Beavers is fourth string on the linebacker. That does not bode well for him making this team. It does not bode well for him making this team. And then I think it's interesting when we start to look at the defensive backs that Drew Phillips is already penciled in as a starter. I have to assume that that was before yesterday when he proved to be like a real irritant. Isaiah Simmons being the second nickel back is interesting because I just don't understand why you have Isaiah Simmons on this team if he's not a starter. Isaiah Simmons should be starting for somebody somewhere. I don't know if it should be in at safety or nickelback, but Isaiah Simmons should be starting. Micah McFadden misses a lot of tackles. And Isaiah Simmons might miss a good amount of tackles as compared to Micah McFadden. It's not even close. Micah McFadden misses the most tackles on this team. Now, to his credit, and I give him credit because he's still getting better, right? He's in position to make a lot of tackles. So when you're in position to make a lot of tackles, his ability to read, react, run fit better than Isaiah Simmons. So I can only assume that Isaiah Simmons is going to be the guy that comes in when they want to go to the dime package and use him as the money back, right? But still, just watching him on the second line, it really does feel weird. Tyler Newbin not being the starting safety tells me that maybe he's going to take a little bit more seasoning than maybe some people think. Nick McLeod being the third nickelback feels weird because he has been all over all the highlights. Like, he's been making plays. And then the other guys have just not really been, like, we haven't really seen anything worth a darn from those guys behind them, right? But Nick McLeod being the third nickelback feels weird. But I guess if Isaiah Simmons is considered a nickelback, he's got to play somewhere, right? Darnay Holmes out at corner and not in the nickel at all tells me that there's a good chance Darnay Holmes getting cut, right? I don't know what his money like, his guaranteed money like, but I don't see Darnay Holmes. I don't see Darnay Holmes being a starting or being a guy that you're saying, hey, he's going to come and play corner. He's going to come and be a corner. No one's ever really thought of him in that light since his rookie or his freshman year at UCLA. So for him to be out here as the backup corner, it leads me to believe that the Giants may be looking into bringing in more cornerback help here in the future. But it's fascinating because, again, training camp was excellent. Training camp, the videos that came from training camp were excellent. The fights and the plays that were being made. Malik Nabers was still Malik Nabers versus that defensive backfield. The defensive backs played well, but then they also gave up some big plays. Jamison Williams hit somebody deep one time and then pointed at him. Like, the things that we were hoping to see, we saw, right? We wanted to know if Malik Nabers was the real deal versus somebody else. He seems to be the real deal versus somebody else. We'll see what comes out of training camp today, and then we'll look forward to seeing who plays and if and whomever plays, how they do when they get the opportunity on Thursday. It's going to be a big game for the second and third and fourth teamers in that game. It's going to be a big game for Tommy DeVito to show that he has a little, he has more mastery of things than he had maybe last year, right? That's going to be big, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. I know everybody was into it, but I looked at that roster and I said, ooh, this depth chart is definitely what the issue is today. So we'll check out training camp today, like always. And I want to give a great shout out to all the content creators that have been out there, like dropping, I mean, just dropping nonstop, right? Nonstop dropping clip after clip, highlights, lowlights, keeping Giants fans and some Giants media abreast of what's going on the field, right? Like, I think it's been fantastic. You people keep up the good work. Here's the only thing I'm going to ask for you, right? Frame up your shots a little bit better. That's all. Just frame the shot up a little bit better so we can get the clear full picture. I know you want to get that close up, you know, worthy shot of Malik Nabers, but Malik Nabers running a route and then we just see the ball in the air and we couldn't see the quarterback, so we don't know what the timing was on throwing the ball up. Doesn't really help us to understand whether or not the ball was thrown correctly or he made a good play or he didn't make a good play. Like, just give us a little bit more context, and the context can be done just by framing up the video a little bit better. That's all. From one man who loves film and video to other people who love film and video, we appreciate everything you guys do out there. If you have boots on the soil, make sure that you're checking out all of your Giants information and news and notes at the one place that you should be going all the time, New York Giants on SI. Make sure that you subscribe to the New York Giants on SI YouTube page. Make sure you subscribe to the Coach Gene Clemens YouTube page. Follow me everywhere on social media at Gene Clemens. And until next time, I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a Giant issue.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.